Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lou Dobbs interviewing Jesuit Tom Reese of Georgetown University.
Does the church, though, or the Council of Bishops, Father, make any reference to the fact that we bring more than 3 million people a year into the United States legally, that we made more than a million people, U.S. citizens, naturalized more than a million immigrants last year as U.S. citizens, that almost half of them were Hispanic, because you make it sound as if there's some sort of constraint here to do things legally. We had a president running around for 8 years saying things like we need a guest worker program. We have 13 of them in this country. Why the duplicity, why the deceit, why the obfuscation in this debate rather than clarity and transparency, openness and honesty?
Well, I would like to see a program that actually worked. I mean, it can take 20 years for someone to get a visa to rejoin their family. This is just not a system that's working. What we need is a system that actually works, that allows people to get a visa, come here legally, and allows the, you know what, 10 million people who are here already, that have been living here, that have children born in the United States. There are 3.1 million children who were born in the United States of people who are here undocumented. They are American citizens. The government is threatening to take their parents away from them and send them back to the country they lived in. These are children who are American citizens.
You didn't answer a single question I asked, Father, but then again, you're a Jesuit. You can get away with that.
Greetings and welcome to Mystery Babylon Radio, Sunday the 20th of January. Tonight we will be doing some reviewing and take a look at what the Jesuits are doing in year 2013. Last week's broadcast was the Revolutionary War, how America became a Jesuit enclave, from the book Code Word Babylon, Danger in the Vatican by P.D. Stewart. Tonight's broadcast topic is connecting the dots with the global Jesuits. What dots are the Jesuits connecting in 2013? Tom Fress of First Amendment Radio is back with us. Welcome back, Tom.
Yes, thanks for having me, Walt. It's nice to be with you.
You bet. Because of Sandy Hook, Connecticut, and the terrible tragedy that's happened there, the Second Amendment is coming to the front again and is under attack. Who really wants to take the guns? Going to play an 8-minute audio from Noise of Thunder Radio with Chris Pinto, then a 4-minute audio with Jesse Ventura, and then a 10-minute interview with Alex Jones of Infowars.com with Pierce Morgan. Understand, this is not to put any one person down, but it will give us a chance to see how the three individuals deliver these messages. Let's listen to Chris Pinto first.
Out, not a huge surprise, the Jesuits and gun control. The Jesuits and gun control. Now, if there is any body of men anywhere on the earth who understand the importance of disarming the common people so that you can ultimately unleash tyranny, totalitarianism, and the Inquisition, if there's any body of men who understands this, it is the Jesuit order. There's no question. These are people who took over the Inquisition after the first 300 years. As we've talked about on this program before, the Dominicans, they ran it initially, going all the way back to Dominic Gutzmann in the 13th century. They ran it for 300 years. When the Jesuits came along, they took over the Inquisition. And they ran it from that point, you know, from about 1540 or shortly thereafter onward. And, of course, the Inquisition continued right up through the 19th century. Then the office of the Inquisition was shut down. It was reopened again during the 20th century. And the current Pope, Benedict XVI, as we've said before, was the former Grand Inquisitor for the Roman Catholic Church. And that's back when he was Cardinal Ratzinger. Now he is Pope Benedict XVI. Okay, so now, how do the Jesuits fit in? Look at what we've got here. on the stage in America. You've got President Barack Obama. According to Joe Biden, Obama is now suggesting that he is going to use some kind of executive authority to implement some measure of gun control. Exactly how this is going to work, we don't know. And if things continue down the way that they have gone with the Obama administration up to now, there will probably be some last-minute surprise that nobody expects, kind of like with Obamacare. You had all of these debates about, well, it's unconstitutional, you can't do this, and back and forth and back and forth. Then it goes to the Supreme Court, and at the last minute, the court says, it's a tax, something that nobody had anticipated, just out of the blue, but it allows Obamacare to survive and to keep moving forward. And it was a total surprise. And I am predicting that the same kind of thing could happen on this whole gun control issue. Right now there are people whispering about Obama using some kind of executive authority, passing an executive order to somehow or other force some kind of gun control on the country without having to go through Congress, without having to get anybody to vote on it, because of, he knows that people are not going to vote in favor of it. But why are we talking about the Jesuits and gun control? Well, there's an article on the internet from a Jesuit priest named Father James Martin. Father James Martin, or he's called the Reverend James Martin, S.J., for Society of Jesus, who, back in 2012, after the Aurora, Colorado shooting, interestingly, published an article saying that, quote, gun control is a religious issue. And here's what he says. I just want to read this to you, because he's taking a very liberal, left-wing view of gun control. There's no question about that. He wrote this article through America Magazine, okay? And America Magazine is a Jesuit magazine. It was founded back in 1909 in New York by the Jesuits. They still maintain it. It is well known as a left-wing Jesuit magazine. You can't even really call it a Catholic magazine, because the Jesuits are often against traditional Catholic teaching. This is just to give you an overview, some background on America Magazine. It says here on Wikipedia, you do the history of it, says, with its Jesuit affiliation, America, meaning the magazine, represents a liberal-leaning view on Catholicism, which has, on occasion, led to conflict within the Catholic Church hierarchy. Over the years, America has sought to offer its readers Catholic viewpoints representing more than one side of sensitive issues. Consequently, the magazine has sometimes published articles and opinion pieces taking positions contrary to official Catholic Church teaching on matters such as homosexuality, priestly celibacy, AIDS, and the roles of women in the church. This has caused the magazine to come under increasing scrutiny by the Vatican. Former editor Thomas J. Rees was forced to resign in May 2005 on the orders of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. That's the official name of the Office of the Inquisition. Okay? So Tom Rees, who we've talked about on this show quite a few times, he was the guy who came out during the Occupy Wall Street protest, and he wrote the article saying that the Occupy Wall Street protesters have an unlikely ally, the Pope. And then he said that Pope Benedict was to the left of Barack Obama and to the left even of Nancy Pelosi. Okay? So Tom Rees, he shows up on the news every now and again. I've seen him being interviewed by Lou Dobbs. We played that interview on a show. Probably it's been about a year since we played that interview. He's the guy who, at the death of Pope John Paul II, was being interviewed alongside a Jewish rabbi, a Muslim imam, and then they've got the Jesuit as the alleged representative of Christianity, which was ridiculous. But nevertheless, that's how it went down. And he's there giving his interview, talking about how, well, the Jews and the Muslims, they don't have a pope, but we have a pope who can unite everybody in all the world, and on and on and on. So he's very clearly part of the Jesuit counter-reformation and the agenda to ultimately unite the world under papal authority, which is the Jesuits' ambition. And of course, the Jesuits drive the left wing, because the left wing, if you study the Jesuits and their history, all of this left wing, Marxist, immoral, the normalization of evil, all of this stuff is contrived by Jesuit philosophy that they have been manufacturing and engineering for hundreds of years. That's why their magazine is such a left-wing oracle. Now, who knows why the Office of the Inquisition officially gave Tom Rees the boot. I think it could be, I mean, because you've got conflicts in the Catholic Church, there's no question. And you have sincere Catholics there. I've met them. I interact with these people from time to time. There are sincere Catholics who do not like all of this anti-Christian, traditional Christian Bible teaching stuff that goes on in the Catholic Church. And if you're Catholic and you're studying the Jesuits, it's important to remember that the Jesuits are as anti-Catholic as they are anti-Christian, because they hate traditional Catholicism, and they have for hundreds of years.
Well, that was Chris Pinto on the Second Amendment and the Jesuits. Tom, in history, the guns have been taken many times. Who really benefits from taking the guns?
Well, the tyrant. The tyrant always wins when the people are disarmed. And when tyranny is about to take root, there's a big push to disarm the people. There's one thing that needs to be understood about having an armed citizenry. It accomplishes what the Protestant Reformation accomplished, and that is individualism. That one may read the scriptures under the leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit and be ministered to by the Holy Spirit, and he essentially becomes his own minister. Well, the papacy absolutely hates that. In the Roman Catholic Church, you are going to believe what you are taught to believe by the Roman Catholic Church, by the magisterium of the church, and you are not allowed to read the scriptures and come to your own conclusions. You must hold to the dogma of the church. And if you depart from the dogma of the church and you express your individualism, then you are excommunicated from the church. You've gone out of fellowship, and unless you are restored to full fellowship with the church before you die, it is believed by Roman Catholics that they go to hell. So, if there is, and I assert there is, an attempt to Catholicize not only the United States but the world, disarmament is going to be a major thrust, and that will help foment the collectivism that the papacy and the one world order, the new world order, requires, a global collective where there is no individualism. And in order to secure that, they must first disarm the people. I hope your listeners are comprehending. I hope I'm using the words that are understandable. What the gun really represents, especially in the hands of a Protestant, one who understands what the Protestant reformers all agreed about, and that was that the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church represents the Antichrist, that woman, which is the Roman Catholic Church, that rides upon the scarlet-colored beast, which represents the governments of the world that uphold and enforce Roman Catholic canon law. And the armaments it rose out of the Protestant Reformation. And it was a way to defend themselves against the Inquisition, who went about burning at the stake those who had left the Roman Catholic Church and joined the Protestant movement. And so to give up our arms is the last-ditch effort in the Counter-Reformation. And what is going to replace our arms once they are all collected and destroyed are shackles of tyranny, papal tyranny. Back to you, Walt.
Thank you. Now I'm going to play a short 4-minute interview with Pierce Morgan and Jesse Ventura.
And our live studio audience, gun control. This is something I've been very animated about all this year with all the various gun outrages, especially the appalling thing at the cinema in Colorado. Why is it that Americans, to me it seems, so many Americans cannot divorce their right to defend themselves with a gun to the apparent right to go and buy 6,000 rounds of ammunition, high-powered assault weapons, and go and murder Americans?
Well, the best thing I can tell you, Piers, is this. Mexico has strict gun control. You cannot own a gun in Mexico. And they had 20,000 people dead last year in the drug cartel wars.
But Mexico has a very particular problem involving drugs. I can cite to you Britain.
All right.
Average, well, let me just throw it back at you. In Britain, for example, an average of 35 people a year are murdered with guns. In Germany, it's about 40 to 50. France, the same. Spain, the same. Italy, there's a pattern here. America, 11 to 12,000 a year.
Yeah.
This country has more guns than anybody else and more gun murders.
Yeah.
It's inarguable, isn't it?
No, not at all. Because I was in the Philippines physically the day Ferdinand Marcos declared martial law and made himself a dictator. And the first thing that dictator did, he gave the people of the Philippines 2 weeks to turn in all their guns or it was the death penalty. Now, why would a dictator do that? Why would he make his number one priority when he took over as dictator to disarm the public? The Second Amendment is there, and it was put in there not for hunting and fishing, like they like to say, because back when they did it, if you didn't hunt or fish, you didn't eat. It was put in there so the citizens would have the ability, if their government became oppressive, they could defend themselves against oppressive government. And I think that overrules all the gun deaths, because let's remember something. A gun is simply a tool. I have a gun safe at home, and I've never come home and heard those guns going off on their own. People kill people. All right, how many people here die because of car accidents of drunk driving? Do we go to the Ford Motor Company and tell them stop making these automobiles because people get drunk and kill people in cars?
That's not an argument.
It's a what?
It's a facile argument. There's no equivalence between drunk driving and lethal firearms. My point
Wait a minute.
I have no
car is a 2,000-pound projectile that can go 100 miles an hour.
I have no problem with an American believing that their right under the Constitution is that they can defend themselves, especially in their own home, if they're being attacked and they have a weapon.
It's also against government.
I have a big problem with a disturbed young man, as we saw in Colorado, being able to buy 6,000 rounds of ammunition and a high-powered assault weapon and go into a movie theater and blow away 70 Americans. I have a big problem with that.
Well,
and nobody else in America in high office seems to share that big
problem. Well, I'll tell you what, Piers. I have a conceal and carry license. Had I been in there, I would have taken this guy out before he could have killed that many people.
Well, I think that, again...
But because, let's remember, police can't stop crimes. Police show up after they're over. Remember that. So when you talk about me not being able, if there would have been a legitimate conceal and carry in that theater, quite possibly they could have taken this guy out and saved people's lives.
Or you could have had the gunfight at the O.J. Corral in there and lost even more lives, couldn't you? That's what could happen. Anyway, let's take a break.
What roll of the dice would you like? You'd prefer to be unarmed? How many people here think I make crackpot points? One. How many think I make sensible points? You're the minority, my good friend. You're the minority.
I said you made some sensible points.
Well, Tom, do you have a comment on, you know, there's no guns in Mexico?
Well, there's no guns in Mexico because it's a tyrannical, oppressive government. It's a Roman Catholic government.
by the way. And if Catholicism is the goal for the United States, union of church and state, a union of the United States government and the Roman Catholic Church, certainly they're going to go for gun control. Listen, people need to realize that we got our Bill of Rights because of the oppression that was exerted against non-Catholics during the old world order. And the founding fathers, as misguided as they were in a lot of things, understood that the only way to keep the Pope from eventually ruling this country was to arm the people and to give the people a constitutional freedom to keep and to bear arms and to as a guarantee against governmental tyranny. And I will just put it plainly, papal tyranny. They came to this country fleeing the oppression of papal tyranny and the Inquisition. And they protected themselves. They put institutions in place in our government so that that could never happen again. Now we are in this debate as though it is even a legitimate debate to be talking about disarming the American people. They have forgotten history. They have forgotten why we provided a guarantee in the Constitution that the people could defend themselves against papal tyranny. That's what it was all about. Just like the First Amendment is the guarantee of the right of the people to both criticize the Pope and the King, because it was always the union of the Pope and the King that oppressed the people. The Pope was the spiritual power, and he said that the civil power should enforce the laws of the Roman Catholic Church. There's where the tyranny came in. And as long as the people were disarmed, they were tyrannized. When the Protestant Reformation came, the people were liberated from the tyranny of the Roman Catholic Church. They armed themselves to see that that tyranny never rose its ugly head in the world again. Any discussion about disarming the American people should be rejected out of hand, based on history. Sure, we're going to suffer some consequences. Some lone nut could walk into a theater and kill a bunch of people. But we have to understand, we deal with just one person in that case. But if we disarm the people, we deal with the entire government and the hierarchical structure as was in place during the old world order. And it takes more than a gun to defeat that. It takes the Bible and the gun. Back to you.
Praise God. Now I'm going to play a 10-minute segment of a interview with Pierce Morgan with Alex Jones of Infowars.com.
Dave, thank you very much for joining me, and indeed to you, Jessica. Anyone who's watched this show over the past few weeks knows I've taken a pretty strong stand on guns in America. It's not escaped the notice of supporters of gun rights, and it's led to a petition on the White House official website, no less. It's entitled, and I quote, "Deport British citizen Piers Morgan for attacking Second Amendment." Take a look. More than 104,000 people have signed it so far. And joining me now is one of the people behind the petition, Alex Jones. He's host of the Alex Jones Show. Welcome to you.
Piers, thanks for having me.
Why do you want to deport me?
Well, we did it as a way to bring attention to the fact that we have all of these foreigners and the Russian government, the official Chinese government. Mao said political power goes out of the barrel of a gun. He killed about 80 million people because he's the only guy that had the guns. So we did it to point out that this is globalism and the mega banks that control the planet and brag that they've taken over in Bloomberg, AP, Reuters, you name it, brag that they're going to get our guns as well. They've taken everybody's guns but the Swiss and the American people. And when they get our guns, they can have their world tyranny. While the government buys 1.6 billion bullets, armored vehicles, tanks, helicopters, Predator drones, armed, now in U.S. skies, being used to arrest people in North Dakota, the Second Amendment isn't there for duck hunting. It's there to protect us from tyrannical government and street thugs. Take the women in India. Your piece earlier on CNN I was watching during Anderson Cooper's show didn't tell you that the women of India have signed giant petitions to get firearms because the police can't and won't protect them. The answer wait a minute. I have FBI crime statistics that come out a year late, 2011. 20%+ crime drop in the last 9 years. Real violent crime because more guns means less crime. Britain took the guns 15, 16 years ago. Tripling of your overall violent crime. True, we have a higher gun violence level, but overall muggings, stabbings, deaths, those men raped that woman in India to death with an iron rod 4 feet long. You can't ban the iron rods. The guns, the iron rods, Pierce, didn't do it. The tyrants did it. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand? That's why you're going to fail, and the establishment knows, no matter how much propaganda, the Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns. My family in the Texas Revolution against Santa Anna, my family was at the core on both sides starting that, because Santa Anna came to take the guns at Gonzales, Texas. Pierce, don't try what your ancestors did before. Why don't you come to America? I'll take you out shooting. You can become an American and join the Republic.
You finished?
Yes, I am finished. You will not take my right. You go through background checks to get guns. How about Prozac? You know the number one... Oh, that's a big sponsor, isn't it? Or that whole class of drugs.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, whoa, got to cut that off, don't you? Don't want to talk about the U.S. number one cause of death is suicide now, because they give people suicide mass murder pills.
Calm down.
Your answer is give more money to the psychiatrist and psychologist to put more crazy people on drugs that make them kill people, Pierce.
Let's try and have a debate here.
Yeah.
Answer me this question.
I'm sick of the same old script here, Bud.
It's fine, Bud. How many gun murders were there in America last year? Do you know?
There were about 11,458, and about 74% of those were gang-related, gangbanger shooting each other. You get 3,500 to 4,000.
Okay, that wasn't the case.
How many people died from infections in hospitals? 197,000.
Let me just ask you a second.
That's right.
How many gun murders were there in Britain?
How many great white sharks?
No, how many...
Kill people every year, but they're scared to swim.
Right. How many gun murders were there in Britain?
A very low amount. I already went over those statistics.
You know?
It was only a few hundred.
No. How many gun murders?
I actually did pull up the statistics. Here, let me pull them out right here. I figured you'd do that.
Gun murders
in
Britain last
year. UK violent crime capital of Europe. London Telegraph. Here, let me give you more.
It's quite a simple question.
Well, that's the oldest.
You're very loud,
man. That's the oldest Perry Mason tactic to ask me some little factoid.
It's not a little factoid.
I already said earlier,
we're talking about
England has a lot lower gun crime rate because you took all the guns.
Let me try exactly
my point. But you've got hordes of people burning down cities and beating old women's brains out every day.
What a ridiculous thing.
They arrest people in England if they defend themselves. That's on record. My God, you have got a total police state. Everybody's fleeing that country because you've had to flee here, Bud. Why don't you tell folks? Yeah, you fled here. Why don't you go back and face the charges for the hacking scandal?
Answer this question. How many...
Why'd you get fired from the Daily Mirror for putting out fake stories? You're a hatchet man of the New World Order.
Okay.
You're a hatchet man. And I want to say this right here. You think you're a tough guy? Have me back with a boxing ring in here, and I'll wear red, white, and blue, and you can wear your Jolly Roger.
Okay.
You know what you...
Let's try again. How many gun murders were there?
Oh, you're going to ban your fist now?
In Britain last year.
How many chimpanzees can dance on the head of a pin? I already went over those statistics.
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
You said hundreds.
It's very low.
You said hundreds.
Yes.
It's actually 35.
Well, the point is you can...
I guess 11,000. Do you understand the difference between 11,000
and 35? Yeah, England wants to ban knives now because tens of thousands are getting stabbed.
But do you understand the difference?
The knife doesn't kill people.
Do you understand?
The gun doesn't kill people.
Yes.
Listen, you understand? You're not
going to
pull on America's heartstrings. They know your script, okay? You're not going to get our guns. By the way, you guys always say, we just want to take the semi-autos, okay, and all this other stuff. When semi-autos aren't even, rifles aren't even used, but in a fraction of the crimes, you can pull those numbers up. Okay?
So let me ask you one question. Which weapon was predominantly used in the Aurora movie theater shoot?
Suicide by killing a bunch of kids, and here's the gun to use, because it's the one the U.S. Army uses.
Why do people need them?
They need them to protect us from the number one killer in history. Government in the 20th century, university study out of Hawaii killed 292 million people. It's called democide. Google it, folks.
Do you believe everyone in America? Shoot everyone in America.
Yes.
Therefore, have an AR-15 if they want one.
Statistically, where there's more guns, there's lower crime. The highest crime is in Bloomberg,
But you have the most
controlled areas
of any of the 23 richest countries in the world, and you have
11,000. America was born on guns and whiskey.
Right.
But it's true we're a violent society.
Right. So you said that America has the most
knives killed three times more. Have you seen the FBI numbers? Knives, bats, rocks.
It's all guns.
Kill many, many times more.
Alex, let's talk about the guns.
It's not the rock. It's not the knife. when a mother chops her kids up with a cleaver because she's on serotonin reel?
Tell me why I'm wrong.
Why don't you
want to
get
AR
rid of the drugs? Because they're half your sponsors?
Stick to the subject.
America's number one cause of unnatural death now is suicide.
Okay. Alex,
not automobile accident, not cancer, not...
You accuse me of attacking the Second Amendment of the Constitution.
I want to get people off pills that the insert says will make you commit suicide and kill people.
Alex, let's get them up to the Second Amendment.
I want to blame the real culprit.
Alex.
Suicide pills.
Alex.
Mass murder pills.
Okay, let me ask you one question. Your belief, unless I'm wrong...
First time anybody's ever heard this, by the way.
Your belief, unless I'm wrong, is that under the Second Amendment, your real concern is that you will be overrun by a tyrannical regime, either from somewhere else...
Yeah, highway checkpoints. Look at Mexico. Total gun ban for the citizens. Highest crime rate in the world. 57,000 people dead the last 5 years. Total gun ban for the citizens.
But you'll make...
Switzerland has the lowest crime rate in Europe.
Alex,
your country has the highest.
Alex, we have 35 gun murders a year. You have 11,000.
People get their brains... It's the higher crime rate.
Let me ask
Violent crime is higher.
On this specific...
It's brains.
Alex,
it's people.
I'm trying to get inside your brain.
Pierce,
it's
if
not
you punch me right
big.
Now, it'd be not your fist,
Alex,
but your brain. That
Alex,
it.
Let me get inside your brain.
Okay.
Okay? I'm serious. You have a very, very big platform. You air, I think, on 63 networks.
No, no, that Wikipedia is like 10 years old. I'm on over 140 stations, XM.
Millions of Americans hear you
over a million and a half
day.
Visitors, InfoWars.com
and
today.
I congratulate
where we have
you on
the statistics
audience.
Posted right now, InfoWars.com.
Who do you believe was behind 9/11?
Oh, I absolutely know. I have the police on CNN saying, get back, they're going to blow up 7. I have BBC reporting.
Who do you believe was behind
I have the proof. I heard them on CBS radio.
Oh, Alex.
They announced they blew up the towers on CBS radio. New Yorkers all saw it and heard it.
Alex, who do you
believe? They blew up Building 7.
Alex, who do you believe was behind it? The American government.
Criminal elements of the military-industrial complex, the same ones that staged Gulf of Tonkin, the same ones that staged Operation, the mass shootings of Operation Gladio.
Right.
Ooh,
do you,
the CIA
do you
don't
mean,
like this
Alex,
right
Alex,
now.
Do you mean that President Bush and his administration were behind 9/11?
I mean that even mainstream news reported that the hijackers were ordered to be allowed into the United States. Michael Springman, the head of the Visa Department, blew the whistle on that.
So the Bush administration was part of a conspiracy.
Well, he
murder,
said never let us tolerate
to murder
I can speak in this accent as well.
Yeah.
The
but is that
government,
what you believe?
Hitler firebombed his own Reichstag, Pierce, to bring in martial law in Germany, April 27th, 1933. Governments have staged terror attacks throughout history or allowed terrorists to attack as a pretext to invade and enslave the populations. I probably own more than 50 firearms. Many of them have increased in value 2, 3, or even 4 times. I sleep very comfortably outside Austin, Texas, knowing that I can defend my family.
Okay. Alex Jones is
InfoWars.com.
This is the man who wants to deport me from the country for wanting to get rid of
assault
rifles.
It's to point out you're a foreigner, a redcoat, here telling us what to do.
Whatever.
Go back to where they took the guns if you don't like it. The communists...
Okay, we've seen an example of three different medias. The first one was Chris Pinto, Noise of Thunder Radio with Chris Pinto. And the second one was an interview with Pierce Morgan with Jesse Ventura. And then Alex Jones. Now, you know, see if you can expound on this, Tom. This, for an example, we have the alternative media and we have the mass media. The way the Jesuits work, they like to work both sides of the fence. Could you expound on that a little bit?
Well, yes. It's stated in their oath that they are to foment revolutions and wars against two parties that were previously at peace, and then to operate on both sides of the lines to control the outcome of the war, and then to sit at the table of armistice to establish the peace, the terms of the peace. And they use this Hegelian dialectic repeatedly throughout history. Now, what I thought was most striking about those three different segments, audio segments that you presented, was what was lacking in the last two. But with Alex Jones, there was no mention of the Roman Catholic Church or the Vatican or the Jesuits. And likewise, with the previous audio recording with Jesse Ventura. No discussion at all about the Roman Catholic Church or the Jesuits. But Chris Pinto understands the history behind the Jesuits and the Roman Catholic Church.
And it's striking. It was left out of the discussions, the second two discussions, but brought up by Alex Jones, that Hitler was the one who blew up the Reichstag in 1933. Well, what did he do that for? He did it because Hitler had just signed a concordat with the Roman Catholic Church. They were beginning a crusade in Europe. And who died in that crusade? Jews, Orthodox Christians, and Protestants. Jews, Orthodox Christians, and Protestants. And oh yes, there were a good many liberal Catholics that died too. Liberal Catholics, those who wanted to live in peace with their Protestant neighbors, they were the ones who were purged from the Roman Catholic Church. The Second World War was a religious war. It was a Holy Roman Crusade, and so is the current war on terror. It took 9/11. The Jesuits fomented this New Pearl Harbor, as they called it, to foment a religious war in the Middle East. And it has a strategic purpose for the Vatican. The Vatican, those who know their history, understand that the very first crusades that were launched by the Roman Catholic Church emptied all the prisons and recruited people into the Holy Roman Crusade to conquer Jerusalem for the Pope. The Pope wants Jerusalem. He wants to rule the world from God's holy hill in Jerusalem. And that was the very first crusades the Roman Catholic Church launched. And I say the end game in this New World Order is a crusade to get control of Temple Mount in Jerusalem, to fulfill the lifelong desire of the papacy. The apple of the Pope's eye is to rule the world sovereignly and supremely from Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. And the current world war on terror is focused in the Muslim world to simply mop up the last resistance of those sects of Islam that will never bow the knee to the Pope. And yet unless we understand the religious components to these wars, we'll never understand what they're really all about.
Well, and he mentioned 1776, and very few people, especially the patriot community, do not understand that the American Revolution was about religion.
Yes, it was. It was about making sure that in the colonies, the Catholics had freedom freedom of religion, so that they could grow and prosper and practice their religion and eventually control the government from within. And that was the stated goal, as I read in the book, The Ark and the Dove by J. Moss Ives. And people are, in the history books when they read in school, there's nothing ever mentioned about religion except the Protestant pilgrims who came to this country. Well, very rarely is it ever even mentioned. They came to this country to flee the Inquisitions of Rome and the tyranny of the papal governments that ruled all of Europe at that time. And the Revolutionary War was simply a way to make sure that although Catholicism had been suppressed in Protestant Great Britain, that it could be free of British control so that Catholicism could prosper and practice. In this country, to the controlling position that it now exerts on Washington, D.C. 9/11 was indeed an inside job, but never will Alex Jones or any of the others admit that President George W. Bush was a skull and bones member, a Freemasonic order controlled by the Jesuits. Never will he admit that the director of the CIA, George J. Tenet, was a Knight of Malta. And Dick Cheney, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, also controlled by the Jesuits, and that Condoleezza Rice was a graduate of Notre Dame University. All the principal players, Rudy Giuliani, the mayor, the hero of New York City, was a Knight of Malta. It was the Vatican who destroyed those buildings. It was another Reichstag fire, another New Pearl Harbor, to get this country to go on a Holy Roman crusade. And that's what it was, and that even George W. Bush admitted that it was a crusade in public, and he was handily chastised for it, too. He came that close to waking up the Protestants of this country what the real motivation of the Middle East war is. It is indeed a Holy Roman crusade, and it's a Protestant America that's fighting it. And it's because Protestant America is no longer Protestant. They don't know who the Antichrist is. They think Antichrist doesn't come until the last 7 years before Christ returned, and that's all a lie. Antichrist has been with us all along. Every single one of the Protestant reformers knew that the Pope was the biblical Antichrist, and they came out of the Roman Catholic Church by the millions. There was no exception. All the Protestant reformers knew this. In order to be Protestant, you must believe, as they believe, that the Pope was the biblical and historical and prophetic Antichrist. And if you don't believe that, you can't be Protestant. You can call yourself Protestant, but you cannot be Protestant.
And what I got from this all three of these, this media source, too, and especially in Alex Jones, they're fomenting a civil war. They would love to have a civil war with all the guns we have in this country. I think that that's their goal, is to get a civil war. And
certainly, and the best way to foment a civil war is to threaten to take the Protestants' guns away from them.
Right.
They'll go out and buy guns. They'll go out and buy ammunition because they know what's coming, tyranny. But the trouble is, they'll never see the real enemy that's fomenting this revolutionary, this civil war.
That's right. In other words, and the same mechanism goes on in any war. The people that are out in the trenches fighting and killing each other are not killing the people that are causing the war.
That's right.
You know.
You're going to have Democrats killing Republicans, Republicans killing Democrats. You're going to have whites killing blacks and blacks killing whites. And they've divided this country so that it destroys itself. And the real fomenters of this war never have to lift a bloody finger. But all the blood will be found on her hands, on the Roman Catholic Church's hands, when Christ returns.
Well, Tom, we're out of time. Could you tell the folks how to listen to First Amendment Radio?
Yes, my program is called Inquisition Update, and it's heard Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time on www.firstamendmentradio.com. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Program is called Inquisition Update, and this is what we reveal on Inquisition Update, that the wars of the world, the wars, and rumors of wars, all lie at the feet of the Vatican. And we show it in the Bible, and we show it in history.
Okay.
And this current war is no different than any that preceded it. It's a religious war. And so will the coming civil war. It's going to be a religious war, but very few people will ever know it until it's over.
Okay, we'll see you next week.
Not perfect harmony. Don't trust the global light. Look with your own eyes. Look to the sky and see. God gave us eyes to see. His perfect harmony. The moon in her own light. Walk it day and night. The sun coming up. The sun going down. The curtain of stars drawn through the heavens around. Look to the sky. God causes all things to grow. Stretched out the earth and lake, established her from base. Trust in the only God you know. Look to the sky and see. God presents harmony. Don't trust global lies. Look with your own eyes.